you feel confused by some puzzling statements about life from the book of Ecclesiastes? Are you tempted to be inactive because life sometimes does not make sense? Hi, this is Zdravko Stefanovic from Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are continuing our series of topics based on one of the less known books of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. To help us explore this challenging book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion. The chair of Modern Languages Department at Walla Walla College, Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud, and the chair of the Computer Science Department at Walla Walla College, Dr. Anthony Abbey.
Hello.
Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining me. I also appreciate Suzanne's presence here. Suzanne is the technical assistant here in the studio. For today, we have Ecclesiastes chapter 11, No Excuse for Being Inactive. This chapter teaches that neither confusion nor any type of lack of understanding is a good reason to be inactive. The author lists some activities in which we can involve that will help others and give more meaning to our own life. So as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, the first question that I have on my mind is, which of the proverbs found in this passage expresses best an attitude of generosity and active involvement to do good to others?
Certainly the first verse, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. It's repeated in many of these verses. Verse 3, the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves. Nature is just full of abundance and generosity. And why is it that human beings are so
greedy?
I need to stop you there. I remember that before, in the previous weeks, we talked about life being unpredictable, and therefore, if we do all the right things, we cannot count on an absolute justice in life and so on. Is the author now taking advantage of that fact and saying, hey, since life is unpredictable, let's do good things because, you know, at least maybe 50% are chances, or maybe less, but at least some good may come out of the good things that we do?
Certainly from an empirical point of view, I would agree. Absolutely.
Interesting, isn't it?
I do like the poetic form of the...
Would you like to read some?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
To get
exactly.
Flavor of it,
exactly.
Please.
Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. I mean, generosity. Give portions to seven. Yes, to eight. For you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening, let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. I like this. This is wonderful.
Yes.
This is just enjoyable to read.
It's almost like a change of mood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Much, much more positive this time.
It's answering the question, how shall we live?
Yeah.
In view of the confusion that we seem to suffer under, how shall we live? Well, let's enjoy it with the full energy that God has given us.
Well, I need to slow you down. There is a difficult question right here in front of me. What is the difference between chance, luck, and providence?
We cannot tell the difference.
That's a short answer. Especially, you know, in light of the last verse that Jean-Paul has read for us. I hear people say, you know, that this is a pure chance and luck. As a Christian, I like to use the term providence. But you say that there is no difference. Jean-Paul, any thought on that?
we can make statements. But as Anthony said, what do we know? What do we know? Is it a matter of causes? A matter of cause, just cause, and cause, you know, produces
effect.
Effects. But in the end, my question, you know, remains the same. How do we know that? Mm-hmm. It does not mean that if something good happens to me, I don't attribute that to God.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that. So I think everybody is free to interpret the cause of life, of what the events that can happen in life.
Well, certainly earlier in the Old Testament, it seemed to me that people had a conception that God brought both good and evil on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And here, we don't know. I mean, there seems to be a transition, perhaps, that we really don't want to blame God for the evil that occurs on the earth. And so now, since we're uncertain, let's live how God has made us to live.
An interesting approach this time, and that is, let's be active in spite of that, and a call for an action. Well, verses 7 and 8, by this time they sound familiar to us and to our listeners. Let me read them, if you allow me. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. In the joys of life, remembering that there is an end to life, and that will be our topic next week. But for the time being, let's look at these two verses. How often do we remember to thank God for things that we take for granted, such as the ability to see objects around us, like you know, the light around us and what we see because of that light? How often do we do that?
Far too infrequently.
Yeah.
A life that's lived with a sense of gratitude, I think, is a much more rewarding life than a life that is lived with cursing the light, too much light or too much darkness.
I have a close friend with whom I sometimes do public seminars, and he likes to say the more familiar a text from the Bible, the more likely that we'll miss its main point. And I cannot elaborate on it now much, but I would like to translate into what we are saying here, and that is the more obvious some important things in life are, the more difficult for us to remember to thank God for them.
Mm-hmm.
We just take too many things for granted.
I like the verse 9 because it says, "Be happy, young men." And I'm happy to be taken for a young man.
this doesn't apply to you, John Paul.
So a call to happiness.
Yeah.
Can you continue, please, if you don't mind, because we can go now into that passage.
Yeah, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know for well, there is something new here, but all these things God will bring you into judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some accountability in there. So
on the one hand, there is like a lot of pessimism, but a desire to live. On the other hand, there is a lot of optimism about life, but then even in the moments of greatest joy in life. But remember, that word "but" is somewhat disturbing here, isn't it?
I don't think so, especially in our days. In our days, in the way that we are all accountable for what we do.
I think that's a better word than judgment.
Judgment. Accountable.
Accountability.
Responsibility, accountability.
Talks about responsibility. Yeah.
That's what we would say today, you know, that we are responsible before God. And you know, we are responsible before our community, you know, our family, our neighborhood, our country, and so on. So,
but this notion of accountability does not does not bring anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done in joy.
That's exactly the question that I had before me. How can the prospect of a final judgment, of a final accountability call to that impact on what we do? It should impact, shouldn't it?
Well, it's a call to responsibility more than anything else. But it's in the context of exercise your powers, your choices, your opportunities. Live life to its fullest, but in the sense that you have a responsibility to what's around you. We've mentioned the evils in the past, mm-hmm. and you know, the oppression and so on. Understand that your desires need to be somewhat constrained by that mm-hmm. knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have free rein to do whatever
yes,
you please.
Yeah,
it's
like
not a call
idea.
To do whatever
yeah.
you please,
yeah, please,
but to do what brings pleasure but is responsible.
Yeah. Hmm. Don't live for yourself alone, but
yes.
in the context of a community.
All right. Well, the text says, know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. That's what the text says.
Mm-hmm.
Does this verse contradict the words from Psalm 130 where it says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. So here am I, a parent. I am the role model to my children, you know, what accountability is all about and so on, and yet I make mistakes. So the prospect of that final judgment, wow, what do I do about this whole situation? I welcome your idea of accountability, and yet I'm aware that I'm weak. I make mistakes, so many. What do I do?
Well, it seems to me that grace is not limited to kids, to children. Parents as well have access to God's grace. And I'm happy for that.
Well, the next verse kind of sounds as if it's a conclusion or a consequence. So then banish anxiety from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be judgment, so banish anxiety. Mm-hmm. How could that be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds like contradiction.
It yeah. does.
Well, we will have to explore that contradiction in our next week study. For the time being, we can say that chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes is very important because the author urges us here not to be paralyzed by life's complexities, but rather to be active, doing good to others, and praising the Creator God. As it says in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I would like to thank Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud and Dr. Anthony Abbey for their valuable contribution. Also, a word of thanks goes to Suzanne, our technical person here in the studio. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you all for tuning in. For Probe, I'm Zdravko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.